Season 3 of Ricardo's Rules of Resilience podcast is brought to you by Triple R Nutrition. Triple R Nutrition is a very clean, very pure way for you to get all the nutrition you need. It doesn't matter if it's whey that I'm holding right here, creatine, daily multivitamins, fat burners, rest, sleep, anything you need. Very clean. It's very pure. But it doesn't just stop with how much it does for your body. This line of supplements was designed specifically to support the Envision La Fuente ministry in the country of El Salvador that takes disadvantaged youth and offers them a brighter future through education. Be a part of doing great things for your body and doing great things in the world. Triple R Nutrition. See in the show notes exactly the link to click on and get everything you need to help yourself and help the world be a better place.
I was going through these stages of like burnout. It's basically related to high chronic stress, and then eventually your body just decides to break down. And so the body part that decided to break down was here in my head.
I love hearing you talk about helping people. I know that it's central to who you are. It's one of your core values.
Whatever your time is, Ricardo, and as your teams, and then Alton, if you have teams, like, we're going to try to go after your guys' time. So we'll see. How can I take this thing apart and like figure out how it works, and then how can I make it better? And that's basically how I look at the people that I work with, the humans I work with, because I want to turn them into the best human possible.
You brought up LA. It's come up a couple of times. You've talked about racing. So now we have to go there. We just have to talk about the race.
But I think we need to do a round two just to like make it official, you know, and then potentially a third one as we go along. So we'll see.
So what I hear you saying is you're already predicting you're going to win the rematch, and then we got to go best out of three. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes.
Okay. Let's make
sir.
It happen. Let's do it.
That's right. Yeah. Ricardo's Rules of Resilience. Tune in, people. Every episode is impactful. You become more burly just by listening. Let's go.
Welcome, everybody, to the Ricardo's Rules of Resilience, the podcast where we give you the tools to withstand and recover from difficulties. I'm your co-host, Coach Alton, along with Coach Ricardo. And today, you guys, we got a super duper special guest on for you guys. We got coach slash owner slash Deca Fit Roadshow host, Joe Bala, in the house today. Thank you for joining us, Joe.
Oh, thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we're super honored to have you on, and we met all the way back in the idea world, so I'm sure we'll get into that, the epic race you guys had between Ricardo and Yancey and JP and Joe. But before we get into all that, if you could give us a quick elevator pitch on who you are and what you're about.
Yes, sir. So my name is Joe Bala. I'm based in California, specifically San Jose, so that's the northern part of California. Former engineer, 15 years, and then I found out that my passion and purpose is actually in service of others, and the medium that I do that is in fitness and movement. And I became a personal trainer, went back to grad school, got a exercise science degree, kinesiology degree, a master's program, and then pursued all the certs that I have now, you know, from personal training all the way up to Spartan SGX coach, DECA coach, became a DECA affiliate, like you mentioned, and yeah, I'm just out there, you know, creating things, doing things with the community, and then I will become a gym owner at some point, so very soon. So yeah.
You know, Joe, one of the things about you, I feel like it's impossible to really know you as a person without knowing about your father and the love and admiration you have for him. Would you be willing to just share with our listeners about your dad and what he means to you?
Man, thank you, Coach Ricardo, for even asking me that. Not many people take the time to ask that. So I'm very happy to share that. So my dad came from the Philippines. He actually, when he passed away, he was 93 years old. So if you go online and you see my tattoo on my right arm, like there's a portrait of him right here when he was in his 90s, right on my shoulder. So it's like, he's right there. He's with me every time I race, every time I coach people. And then when he first came to the US from the Philippines, that was in 1929. He got on a boat from the Philippines and traveled all the way to Hawaii. So on my forearm here, you'll see a young picture of him in the 1930s. So like during the Depression era. and his whole life is just a whole like history lesson. So yeah, he immigrated to Hawaii, worked in the sugarcane plantations and then also pineapple. He did a lot of things in Hawaii, and then he found out like he wanted to do more. So then he migrated to Alaska. He worked as a fisherman, caught a bunch of salmon and whatever else that they wanted him to catch on those boats. And then somehow he navigated into California, and then that's where his story of his family came about. So like that was, I would say probably, I can't remember the exact dates, but when he started in California, he basically worked from the northern part all the way down to the southern part. And he just worked up and down in the fields. So his hands, like he had some of the softest hands, like even though he worked in the field, many fields, like his hands were like, that was one of his features that I was appreciated most, was like, he had strong hands, but they were very soft and very like, humbling. Like the way his nature was very humbling, very loving, very caring. He was like a superhero to me growing up. And so that's how I saw my dad. And I every day I wake up, I aim to emulate his life, the way he lived and the way he carried himself. So there's a tattoo also on my backside. It's in an old Filipino script language, and it reminds me of what he was about, which is humility, like staying humble, staying grounded. And so everything about me is really in honor of him. So I carry him daily with me. So, and that's what I spread when I coach people, when I work with people, when I talk to people.
That's so great. And one of the things, we were just interviewing Nelson, and one thing I applauded him on, and one that I admire about you as well, is just the ability to just serve others with all the crazy stuff that's involved with DECA. You got a million different things running around. And then on top of that, you got people running through the race, having these epic lifetime moments for them. And then you and all the other DECA people are just able to serve, and they're on fire the whole time. It always blows my mind when I see that. And how do you feel like you personally are able to do that, and able to manage all the hecticness and still have that energy and to serve?
That's a great question, Alton. I appreciate you asking. I think it comes down to like work ethic and knowing like the work I put into myself, why I train so hard, why I work on improving myself every day, whether it's mental, physical, emotional, spiritual, all that. Like I'm building up the strongest version of myself so that when I'm in these situations at these DECA events, like you guys are well aware, I can give everything I have to them. And then, you know, does it wear me out at the end of the day? For sure. I'm like wiped out for the end of the day, but then I can re-energize. I go to bed. I pray, you know, like everyone else does, who believes in God. And, we live that lifestyle, and I can reset and come back and do it again the next day. So, that's basically where it comes down to it. Just like my dad, he was very, very much a strong worker, very dedicated to family and teaching us, you know, his ways. And so I carry that with me each time I'm out there.
And Joe, I really appreciate you being willing to come on the podcast and talk to our listeners and share with them vulnerably. And you've been actually very open about this, but you've gone through some battles in the past year or so, and you've had to have resilience to come out the other side. And you're a person who does give and give, and you coach, and you genuinely care about your clients and their experience. And at the same time, you found yourself just really going through a hard time yourself. Could you just share a little with our listeners how, you know, how that was for you going through that, and some of the tools that you found to help you keep going?
Yes, sir. So, yeah, so I battle depression, anxiety. I have some insomnia sometimes. So, I can't sleep, difficulty sleeping or waking up too early. And so these were things that kind of revealed themselves actually when I was an engineer, towards the latter half of my engineering career. So that was I think it's around 2015 when it started to reveal itself. I was going through these stages of like burnout. And if you Google burnout, like it's basically related to high chronic stress. And then eventually your body just decides to break down. And so the body part that decided to break down was here in my head. And through all that adversity that I faced, like it triggered depression, it triggered anxiety, it triggered like me questioning myself, like, am I doing the right thing? You know, being an engineer, you know, working, you know, as early as 5 a.m., as late as 11 p.m. at night, and then just traveling whenever I was needed. So it just took a toll on my mental health. and then affected my ability to function daily, like just being present for my daughter, being present for my wife, my family, my siblings, my clients at the time, the customers that I was dealing with, and then even just for myself. So like it took a lot of, I'm just thinking back, like there was a lot of ups and downs, if you will. So if you think as an engineer, like the way my brain works, I'm very analytical. So if I were to plot everything on a graph and I just put a dot every time a day passed, it was just scattered, like up and down, up and down, up and down. And then, you know, if you were to trace like kind of, it's called regression, like linear regression. So if you were to draw a line that kind of averaged what it looked like, it would kind of average like this, and then I'll just drop. That was my depression. I'd somehow find myself way back up here and then drop again. So it wasn't like a drop and then high and then drop and then high. It was more like, here's my baseline. I'm trying to be good, trying to be taking care of myself, then just sudden drop. So those drops represent my depression and my anxiety. So every time over since 2015, I have these like stages where I just drop, or I call them episodes. And these episodes can vary from like, I don't know, a few months to like most recently, this last, you know, since I last saw both of you in LA. That year, I was doing quite a bit. Like I was doing DECA Roadshow, running a DECA affiliate program at CrossFit of Fremont, doing my own business, like, you know, personal training, online coaching, and then working at three or four other gyms. So it was just a lot. My daughter was entering college at the time. So I think the fact that she was leaving our home, you know, going away, it put me in a kind of negative place, and I didn't realize it at the time. And so that's kind of what led to this most recent drop. And it took me almost a year to like bounce back this time. And so what did I do to bounce back? The love of my wife, the care that she gives me daily, the guidance she gives me, she already knows, like if she feels something's going to happen, she'll immediately like shut me down, meaning disconnect me from everything, you know, including work, including social, including just being out there, because I tend to give, and I don't know when to shut down. So there's a lot of like details there, but hopefully that gives you some insight onto what I did or had to go through.
Yes, it does. And, you know, I can say that as you and I, you know, one of our common values that, you know, you and I connected on is we both really value family to our very core, you know, both the family we come from and the example that has been and the formative influence that informs our daily life, but then also how we pass that on to our children. And for people like us who value family so much, it is really tough to go into that next stage where now I've got to love you from afar. You know, you're not yeah. as dependent on me. And, you know, we've raised you to be this this mature adult that's contributing to society and building a life, but now you have to go leave my nest to do that. And that could be a super difficult and triggering process for us. And it introduces all kind of grief. Would you say grief was probably a piece of the depression?
Yeah, I definitely felt grief and then like kind of emptiness in a way. Mm-hmm. You know, every morning I'd see my daughter, you know, and I'd kiss her in the forehead or head. She's like 17, 18 at the time. I didn't care. That's my baby, right? So yeah. I'm sure you feel same way, right?
I do.
You know, and I didn't realize it at the time when she left. I was okay. I pretended to be okay. But as the days went on, I just kind of felt this like this hole, and I couldn't fill it. And no matter what I did, no matter how hard I worked out, no matter how much work I took on each day, like it didn't matter. It didn't replace that hole that was missing or that was there in my heart. So it's just kind of, yeah, something I carry. And that's just the way I operate, you know, the way my body is and my heart, my mind is designed, you know, so.
Definitely.
What were some of the ways that you were able to kind of handle that? And not only just in that specific situation, but just in general in life when you're feeling that, just that emptiness in your heart, like what are some of the things that you do to navigate through that?
Great question. So one is like I've learned through working with, you know, mental health professionals is like through therapy. That's one way. So like talking to a professional, it's not so much like I can talk to my wife all day, but can she like she'll hear me, but does it really like it'll resonate, but then does it resonate to a point where she can actually turn around and say, hey, maybe try this or maybe try this. Because she doesn't have that experience working with people that are like me that battle these things, a lot of what someone with anxiety, someone with depression has is we tend to ruminate. So like ruminate a thought and it just does this over and over and over and over. And so talking to a therapist helps me navigate these thoughts and process, and then helps me identify processes that I can practice. You know, a simple one would be like journaling. I found out over time I don't like journaling, so even though I tried it, I did it, and but I just didn't find it didn't resonate with me, right? So what I did find though was interesting is I'll record myself talking. So I'll literally turn my phone on and I'll just record myself, and some of these things I do share on my stories or Instagram posts, but you know, when I'm in the thick of it, like some of those are still like, you know, personal to myself, my wife, my family. Eventually I might release them, you know, just to share kind of like in a vlog format. I've been contemplating that. Like I had my own podcast at one time. I did just recently re-release it on YouTube. So that might be the spot I might like release some of this stuff, because like we talked about prior to us, you know, recording, it's important to share this stuff because it can help someone else down the line, you know, and that's the important piece. So yeah, I want to create a story. I eventually plan to write my own book and like divulge a lot. And so, in the hopes of it's going to help one person. If it helps one person, I'm pretty sure that's going to help someone else, and it'll kind of have this domino effect.
I love hearing you talk about helping people. I know that is one of your central, it's central to who you are. It's one of your core values. It's, you know, you, like you said, you left a very lucrative field and career because for you, it really turned your crank a lot more to help other people. And that's actually one of, you know, we talk about Ricardo's rules of resilience, and one of them is helping others helps me more, you know. And so when it's more blessed to give than it is to receive, you know. And so when I give that to someone, I benefit so much more, you know. And one of the things that I know you love is working with your clients, whether they're online or in person. Would you talk to us a little bit just about the joy you get from that and how you're able to help people? I know that lights your fire like it does mine.
Yeah, absolutely. Like this morning, just give you a quick example, 5 a.m. this morning here, I've been leading up to this thing where I'm trying to build, you know, because I've been gone for over a year, rebuild a community of people like me, Spartans, DECA people, you know, whoever likes challenges and racing and community and team. I'm all about that, right? So I've been slowly like getting people to like find me again on Instagram, LinkedIn. I'm not on Facebook right now because just I don't want to be on Facebook. Yeah, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube. Find me there. But I've been trying to get people to move with me slowly. So one of the things I've been doing is getting out every Wednesday morning at 5 a.m. I leave the house physically at 4:50 to drive to the local track. And I tell them on Instagram, LinkedIn, I think YouTube as well. I don't remember if it's on YouTube, but I basically say, hey, I'm going to be here at 5 a.m. We're gonna do some laps, and we're going to just work on zone two, or we're going to do tempo running or intervals or, you know, whatever it is we're going to do. And so like I'm prepping for my upcoming DECA Mile, DECA Strong weekend. So I'm going to be jumping into DECA Mile teams, you know, with a buddy of mine that does CrossFit. So we both work out together. We do CrossFit together, but he wanted to partner up with me because he wants to do high rocks. So like, I didn't share this officially, so you guys are actually the first that I'm going to do my first high rocks coming up in Las Vegas in February 2nd. So that's my first like step into their arena, but obviously I'm a DECA guy, so like it's going to be unique. So anyway, he needs to prep for high rocks, and I'm like, okay, why don't you do DECA Mile with me? We're going to run through this course. We're just going to crush this course. So whatever your time is, Ricardo, and as your teams, and then Alton, if you have teams, like we're going to try to go after your guys' time. So we'll see. We're two CrossFitters, so we'll see how we do. But the goal is I'm trying to get this community to do these things, and it's going to lead to doing DECAs with me. It's going to lead to doing Spartan Race with me again, because I used to do this a lot. Like every year, I'd prep people to do, they didn't realize it at the time, but I was prepping them to do a Spartan or prepping them to do a DECA, prep them to do a 5K, 10K, whatever it was, you know? And yeah, so that's kind of what brings me joy. It lights up my inner light, flame, whatever it is you want to call it. But I find the most joy though with one-on-ones and online, because it's like, it requires a certain level of attention, a certain energy, even though they, you know, say client A comes in and they're just like, they're down and out, you know, and usually what happens is the clients that come to me are former engineers or current engineers. They're kind of like contemplating career changes, just like what I did, you know, how many years ago now, or they're battling depression, they're battling anxiety, PTSD, you know, chronic stress. Like how they're like, coach, like, how do I deal with this nonsense? But I still want to move. I still want to take care of my health. And this is why they kind of gravitate towards me. And those are the ones that I really, really love helping at the end of the day, because I can give them 100% attention during that 30-minute or 1-hour session that they've invested in with me, right? So learning about their stories is a very key component for me, because that's when I can pull and utilize, I can pull those strings. You know, basically I'm a puppeteer, and I can kind of pull the right one to get them back into their mindset. Like, why did you reach out to me in the first place? You know, and I remind them like, hey, we're training for this 3 months from now. We're training for this 6 months from now. We're training for this a year from now. Like, you got to think big picture. And so, and I happen to use movement as a form of communicating with them and relating all my life experience and personal experience with them. So, yeah.
So many great things packed into that. I mean, keeping the goal in front of you, reminding yourself of your motivation, you know, movement is medicine. Just so many great things you packed into that short segment on how you help people. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
And one of the great things that I loved hearing from that is when you're talking about how you have a lot of former engineers, and I feel like it's so beautiful how God will turn a past struggle or weakness and turn it into a strength or what you're currently doing. And one of the key things, it's in your Instagram bio, re-engineering humans or people, and that's a key part of, kind of talks about your past as an engineer and brings it in with your new passion with working with people. So if you could kind of tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah.
I don't know if the catchphrase is the right way to put it, but just kind of the mentality that you have with working with people.
That's a great question, Alan. So like in the engineering world, let's say all three of us were engineers. We're on a team together, and they say, hey, I want you to create the best, like, you know, mouse. This is an Apple mouse here. The best Apple mouse, the next generation one. How would you do it? You know, you'd, as an engineer, we're going to open this up, take it apart, and like look at how this thing works. And this is something I learned a valuable lesson in my education as an engineer. How can I take this thing apart and like figure out how it works, and then how can I make it better? And that's basically how I look at the people that I work with, the humans I work with, because I want to turn them into the best human possible, whether it's giving them better habits, you know, getting them to sleep earlier at night, waking up earlier as a result of that, building better habits of like, you know, are they drinking too much coffee? I have coffee here, but it's like X amount, right? I only drink that much now versus when I was an engineer, I was drinking, you know, 6 cups a day. So it's just kind of like changing habits to become better versions of ourselves. And then ultimately, like, am I helping them? Like we're talking about engineers, like, can I help them reduce their stress? How can I help them reduce their stress? Obviously, one form is movement, 2, getting better sleep, 3, just changing their habits. Like, how much caffeine are they actually consuming a day? You know, and then like, are they drinking enough water? Like, keep drinking that water because that's important. How much electrolytes? So I look at everything holistically, and I see my clients as like essentially engineering projects. Like, this engineering project, A versus B versus C versus D, each of them has these unique systems in place. And these systems, I'm just going to like take them apart, break them down one by one, and like analyze them, and then reconfigure them to re-engineer them into their best self. So that's kind of why I say I re-engineer humans, because that's ultimately what I'm doing at the end of the day. And all coaches, all trainers do that. That's just how I say it, because that's how I relate to things. Because when I look at a human, I see like systematically, I see a frame, and I see like, you know, internally what, how they move and how can I better improve that, you know, things like that.
And I love how your mind works with that, and just the perspective that you have with working with people. And how do you use, I know you're real, as you said earlier, you're really big into DECA, but where does DECA come into with this re-engineering of habits and the general person?
So DECA has been life-changing for me. The reason I gravitated towards it, one, because I'm a Spartan SGX coach, and so like being a Spartan SGX coach, and then eventually a Spartan OS instructor. OS just means obstacle specialist instructor. I was always seeking, I don't know if you guys know Dr. J, but Dr. J, he passed away last year, I found out, when I was battling this depression. So it hit me pretty deeply when I found that out. But Dr. J inspired me to kind of like keep leveling up my knowledge. So I'm just, you know, I was here, but then how can I like spike it? So I'm like going this way now. So when I found out about DECA, that was actually back in 20, right? So Jared Cogswell, he was the co-creator with Yancey of DECA, right? So Jared Cogswell, he and I know each other from a gym I used to work for called Club Sport. So Jared came from Oregon, Club Sport Oregon, and I was at Club Sport San Jose. So I met him through a business mentorship thing that he offered the trainers and coaches at the time. And so when I found out about DECA, I was like one of the first people on board, like, hey, Jared, what is this DECA thing? I gave it a heart on Facebook, and I was like, get me DECA into this gym. I want to bring it to the gym. And then soon after, like, COVID hit, and then it went, you know, it tanked for a bit. And then somehow down that, during the pandemic, it evolved into what DECAFit was. And now today, DECA, which has all these components, right? DECA Strong, Mile Fit, Ruck, you know, and then that DECA Atlas now. So why did I gravitate towards it? Yancey, like, I just love his energy. He's just an amazing human to be around. Getting to work with him during our Idea LA, you know, trip, the Spartan, I guess we could call it a road show, but it was more like we put on a DECA event for all those, you know, SoCal people. And I got to meet both of you, JP. That was actually the first time I met JP in person from RAM. And yeah, so that, just the whole ecosystem, anyone that's involved in DECA, you guys are amazing. And I aspire to be just as amazing, if not just a little bit more, you know, like I'm just trying to get better and better as an athlete, but also more so as a coach, more so as a affiliate and then eventual gym owner, because I aim to spread DECA, spread Spartan, spread, you know, OCR in general, just hybrid fitness in general, like get it out to the masses more, because there's so much potential for humans to, you know, turn into, to become, and then pass that on to the next generation. So it's really for everyone. And that's why I love it so much.
I, you know, to go back to what you said a moment ago about the engineering, and now you're engineering bodies and you're helping engineers. I just think it's really neat how God will take our mess and turn it into our message, you know, and that's clearly what he's done in your life, where you know, you were in that world where engineering was really hurting you, and, you know, it was just, you found a higher calling, but that higher calling is to help other engineers who are struggling the same way you were, as well as physically, and now you're taking people through DECA and all these wonder, and Spartan, all these wonderful things. But, you know, you brought up LA, it's come up a couple of times, you've talked about racing, so now we have to go there. We just have to talk about the race. So Yancey's been on and we talked about the race. JP has been on, we've talked about the race. You're the last participant in the race to come on the show, and we have to talk about the race from your perspective. Listeners who may have missed those episodes, what we're talking about is in Los Angeles in 2023. We were at the huge Ideal World Conference, which is a industry-leading conference. Where fitness trainers from all over will show up for those, and all kind of industry leaders are there. And we were showing all these people DECA for a couple of days. And at the very end, I was really trying to push Yancey to do one. I was pushing JP to do one. And JP says, well, I'll do it with you. He said, okay, all right, we'll do a race. And so I just changed my clothes, and I'm expecting he and I to just go through. I wasn't even planning on warming up. I was planning on the first exercise to be my warm up, because we're just doing it to experience. And I come back from changing my clothes, and JP and his Irish brogue says, Ricardo, Ansi's going to race us. I'm like, what? We're racing now? And he had recruited Joe Bala, and our listeners who haven't seen your Instagram or seen you, I mean, you are a fit, trim individual, and I'm thinking, oh man, we have met our match now. And so you take it from there. You tell us about the race from your perspective.
Boom. Okay. Wow, thank you for that reminder. I just remember, so before I even start my view, like, I remember Alton and I were supposed to team up, and somehow Yancey Yancey took his place. Like, he stepped in. I was looking forward to going to Alton, and then I was like, oh, it's going to be son versus dad, and I'm just going to be tagging along, you know? And Yancey's like, nope, I'm doing this, you know? So, and he didn't even warm up. He just was ready to go. And for me, like you say, I'm trim and fit, but like I battle injuries. I have low back pain, chronic low back pain, you know, Achilles, tendonitis, and, you know, from my ninja wear stuff that I do. But it doesn't matter because I did my warm up and I got in. I had to like make sure everything was good in the back somewhere hiding. And yeah, so, you know, Yancey is like, all right, Joe, he's pulled me aside. He's like, this is how we're going to do this. And I just remember like, oh my God, I'm teaming up with the co-creator of Deca. Like, this is too much pressure, right? Should I go hide or should I pretend I have a stomach ache? You know, that's what first thing that was in my head. And then all in, like, I think I remember seeing you on the side. You're just like, you're doing this, you know, like you, I think you wanted to go, you know, and I don't know exactly what you felt at the moment, but I was like, oh my God, this is really happening. And, you know, I've seen Ricardo move, like, and you, didn't you do Deca that day too? Like, you already went through one time on your own?
I can't remember if it was that day or the day before, but I had done an individual, yeah.
Yeah, you'd done one that weekend.
Okay, so maybe it was the day before you did it, right?
I can't remember now. Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. So anyway, the people that are listening and watching this, I don't think we even have an official finish time. Like, where did our teams rank? I don't even know if there's footage of this either, is there?
I think I took a couple video clips, but I do know there's the picture of all four of you guys together after the finish. Yeah. But I think there may be a couple clips that I took, but yeah.
Yeah, it was blurry. I just remember going through Yancey. It was like a blur. Like, I don't remember anything much. I just remember seeing Ricardo, seeing JP going hard. Like, I was looking over there, I think on the rower. Cause I was on the rower because Yancey started the zone one, and then he taps me on the shoulder. I'm looking at I don't remember if it was Ricardo or JP.
It was JP. JP was on
JP
the rower.
JP was on the rower. So he and I went up against each other on the rower. I don't know where we ran. I thought we kept up pretty well with each other throughout.
Mm-hmm.
But I just remember I did the sit up station. Yancey did the box. He was like, he blazed through the box, and I was waiting for the sit-ups. I did the sit-ups, and you know, he and I kind of devised how we could play to each other's strengths, because I do CrossFit. He does CrossFit, but he does, obviously, Deca, and he has a track background. I'm more of a ninja Spartan, you know. I've done running in the past, so we kind of played to each other's strengths. I think once I got off the sit-up station, and he's like, I'm going to hit, I think he said he'll hit 250 on the skier. And he's like, Joe, I want you to, when you get on there, just, I'm going to be resting and I want you to go all out, right? So I gave it everything I had, but in my head, in my heart, they weren't matching. Like, in my head was like, yes, go. But my heart was just like out here, just boom, and just kept hitting. And I literally was gassing out already. It was only zone five, right? I think partly because I was so starstruck that I was actually on a team with Yancey.
Yeah.
And the pressure from all, and I didn't know if everyone was watching, but like I could feel pressure from both sides watching us. And I didn't know if there was phones or cameras or whatever, but I was like, oh God, this is going to go on social media. You know, like I was, anyway, that's my brain at work. So we finished zone five and then he takes off with the, you know, the dumbbells and just running up and down. And then I think I had to jump on the air bike because I don't remember doing farmer carry. So I just literally like walk over there. I was breathing as heavy and as hard as I could imagine. And I got on the air bike and I tried to go. And I think it was you. I think it was you, Ricardo, on the bike, right? Was that you? Okay. So I tried to bust out like 10 to 12 cals. I think originally Yancey wanted me to do 15 and I knocked out the 10, but I felt like I hit a wall and this, mm-hmm. I had nothing left. Yeah, so then I think Yancey picked up from there and he busted out the remainder of what we needed. And then I went into the shoulder over with the dead ball. I was starting to recover because I was calming myself down. And then we get to the tank. And I think that's where we messed up. Like, we were on par with you guys. We were like neck and neck. And I think during the transitions is where we lost, you know, Yancey and I lost a little communication on the handoff, I think. And then that's where we kind of lost the match at that point. But we tried to come back on the burpees. I remember just knocking out those as fast as I could. I think Yancey was the one that finished, or was it the other way around? I don't remember. Maybe.
All I remember is us being within a couple of seconds of each other. It was maybe a one rep type of thing where it came.
It was close.
It's, It was the most exciting race I've ever participated. I've seen exciting races, but in terms of my own life, it was my own most exciting. I mean, it's just down to the wire, down to the last couple of reps. And there were, I think there probably was 4 or 5 or 6 lead changes in that thing. We were, one machine wanted to go ahead and the next station, the other would go ahead. And it was so much fun. Cause like you say, you know, there's all these people around everything. It was just a fun day.
Yeah, it was amazing. That was one of my funnest team races too. So I appreciate you and JP pushing me and Yancey, because I just, my heart literally was left on the ground at zone 5. And I somehow picked it back up and got back into the game. But I wish we had the official times, because I want to know like where that was and how can I improve still, you know, to this day. Because but I think we need to do a round 2 just to like, you know, make it official, you know, and then potentially a third one as we go along. So we'll see.
So what I hear you saying is you're already predicting you're going to win the rematch, and then we got to go best out of 3. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes.
Okay. Let's make
sir.
It happen. Let's do it.
Awesome. And as we close our time with you, Joe, again, super grateful to have you on and for you to take the time for this interview. One question that we like to ask all our guests is, as we're preparing, we try and make sure we craft some of the best questions to glean some of the best information off of you for our listeners. But we may not have asked some of the best questions. So if there's anything that's on your heart that you wish that we'd brought up or that you wanted to bring up right now, just let the time to let the listeners know what they need to know.
Yeah, I appreciate you giving me that opportunity. Yeah, I think just in general, like the state of fitness right now, there's so much going on and so much energy in the hybrid space, you know, DECA versus HYROX, or I've seen like clips of like other types of hybrid fitness races coming out, particularly in overseas. I'm just excited to see where it's going to be, you know, coming over this year, but also 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years from now. I'm just trying to envision what that'll be. I think we're in a good space, you know, and we just have to continue like this mission that DECA has fostered and created. Nancy and Jared obviously started it, and then the affiliates, we're out there doing the thing. Roadshow, we're out there doing our thing. So yeah, just continue like growing and continue bettering ourselves, sharing amazing stories like we just did right now, you know, creating even newer stories and getting to those. You know, I think the message was DECA wants to hit the 80% of the population, you know, the majority. So maybe making it 81% or 82%, you know, continue growing that, you know, majority. So it gets higher and higher each year. And it's going to be incremental, and it's going to be a lot of work. Obviously it sounds simple, but it's not. And we just going to continue like doing the parts that doing what we need to do individually, but also as a team, as a whole, as a DECA family. So I'm excited for where this is heading, and excited to keep writing stories. And when I become a gym owner, you two are formally invited to come in and like race me and whoever else is on there, who's going to be my partner. And let's go do some awesome DECA teams things.
Let's do some teams. Teams are fun because, as we mentioned, like you said, you're only working half the race and you're resting the other half. So you just go all out, you know, and then, like you said, even by station 5, you're like, where my heart is outside my chest right now, because you're going so hard and intense during the times that are your turn. Right. So they make for some super intense fun races.
100%.
It's also a great way I've found it for new people to get into DECA that have, you know, they're maybe intimidated by it. And, you know, we're all kind of intimidated by things that are unknown or new. But, hey, grab a partner, try it out. And, you know, whatever you can't do, your partner can do. And you can divide it up however you want. And I found that to be a great way for many people to get their start, you know, trying hybrid racing.
Absolutely, yeah. And yeah, I just wanted to say real quick, Ricardo, like your post with your dad doing was that DECA Fit?
Yeah.
That was amazing. Like I literally was tearing up because I was picturing my dad and myself doing that. But now my dad's passed. So like I want to be able to do something similar. My mom is still alive. She's in her she's early 73 years old. I'm envisioning, and I set a challenge for myself this year. I think I put it on someone's post. I said, I envision taking my whole family through DECA, and it's going to be through DECA teams, each of them through DECA teams. And the first one was my sister. Maybe you guys seen it on my Instagram, but she and I have always teamed up for DECA strong teams. So the next one would be my mom, and then hopefully taking her through it, because this past year she lost her home. She's it was burned in a fire. And so since August 22nd, like, we've been trying to help her rebuild. The home is still like not rebuilt. She's displaced right now. And so, like, to give her something to kind of uplift her, to help her stay positive, and while we're trying to rebuild this house for her, I want to put her through a DECA teams, because it's going to help her kind of keep her mood up. It's hard to see her when she's feeling her lowest, when she breaks down and cries. But yeah, that's one of my drives this year, is to help my mom. And that's going to be one way to do it.
That is wonderful. Yes, it is a big help. Get people moving. And, you know, just like our race together, really the bottom line is the four of us formed a very special bond that day, you know. And when you sweat together and you exert yourselves together, there is that special bonding moment. And it doesn't matter where the finish line is. You know, my dad and I were probably dead last, you know, both times at Worlds and, you know, in our qualifying run, but we did it together. And, you know, that is what makes that special moment as well. You know, Joe, as so many people, I'm sure, are listening to this and connecting with you for the quality person that you are, as well as your story of what you've been through. If they want to get some more Joe Bala in their life and connect with you further, what's the best way for them to do that?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, so joebala.com, that's my website, joebala.com. All my links are there at the very bottom, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube. I'm not on Facebook, if you're wondering again. I mentioned that earlier. But yeah, Instagram, LinkedIn, what did I miss? Oh, YouTube. Yeah, so look for more content on those platforms. And then you can find me on Spartan's website. I'm one of the Spartan SGX coaches. I'm also a DECA coach and DECA affiliate. So Joe Bala Fitness is my business. You can Google that and hopefully find one of my events if you're local or want to come travel to me and do one of my DECA Strong, DECA Mild, and soon, very soon, DECA Atlas.
Thank you all for listening to another episode of Ricardo's Rules of Resilience, the podcast that gives you the tools to withstand and recover from difficulties. Go be resilient.
Appreciate you.
As always, if you need coaching in resilience or in your hybrid racing, get a hold of us. We love to hear from our listeners. Give us feedback on the show. You can reach out to me at coach.ricardo on Instagram or Ricardo Molinax on Facebook. Season 3 of Ricardo's Rules of Resilience podcast is brought to you by Triple R Nutrition. Triple R Nutrition is a very clean, very pure way for you to get all the nutrition you need. It doesn't matter if it's whey that I'm holding right here, creatine, daily multivitamins, fat burners, rest, sleep, anything you need. Very clean. It's very pure. But it doesn't just stop with how much it does for your body. This line of supplements was designed specifically to support the Envision La Fuente ministry in the country of El Salvador that takes disadvantaged youth and offers them a brighter future through education. Be a part of doing great things for your body and doing great things in the world. Triple R Nutrition. See in the show notes exactly the link to click on and get everything you need to help yourself and help the world be a better.